poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to your spoken word addiction, the Looney Tunes show that is World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your poet extraordinaire, J. Todd Underhill, otherwise known as the Marvin the Martian of these Looney Tunes. On my left-hand side, he's the greatest co-host and producer in poetry radio. He's the foghorn leghorn of the group. He's Michael Amade.
I say. Wait. Foghorn leghorn, huh?
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder what it would sound like if you crossed foghorn leghorn voice and President Obama's voice?
We could do that.
We could find that. I would love to hear a poet that sounds like that sometime.
I would too. All right. And on his left-hand side, and this is what the setup was for, after last weekend, he is the resident Yosemite Sam of our group. He's the rootinist, tootinist, born up in poetry radio. He is the half-squatch.
I don't remember. That's right.
Yeah.
Pew, 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 pew.
Well, what'd you do the last weekend? Seriously.
So, okay, on Sunday, and this is something that my father was in the military. And while he was in his service, he was a marksman. Okay, it was just, he's got medals galore for being a marksman.
Correct.
And I never fired a gun.
In your life?
In my life.
And you're now 38?
Yeah.
Are you going to be
38?
Or will
38? Be 38, yeah.
37.
And I, this past Sunday, I went out with my cousins, and they taught me very politely and very properly how to hold one and how to fire one. And I found out a few things about myself, as in, no, I'm not going to go out and get an arsenal, but...
But you are voting for Trump now.
But I have found out that I am neither left nor right eye dominant, which means I'm ambidextrous when I fire a gun.
So he's a centrist, more like a Reform Party kind of
guy. There you go.
So when I get my six shooters and my hip holsters, I'll be great for the Wild West when
that
comes back.
Well, we do technically live in the Wild West.
We do, but you know how trends cycle, so we've got to get back there sometime.
We're on our way, guys.
Well, okay. I went through a dark period where I definitely was. I spent most of my time as a cowboy. So,
okay.
Never had to fire a gun. Never had to. Had to do plenty of other weird stuff, but never that.
Yeah.
But hey, I think you'll have an advantage.
You will.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
being able to see with both eyes. That way, if one gets shot out, you can still shoot.
That's right. I can still shoot. Yeah.
I can still shoot you with one eye.
All right. So we do poetry here. We got a few things we need to let you know about. We've got a store on our website. If you want to buy something, you know, something we suggest, it'll help out the show. No extra cost to you. We get a small kickback for suggesting items. I need to update some of my selections.
You know, there's so many great. When was the last time you? I'm going to ask you this, but it's not a gotcha question,
right.
And it's for the people listening too. When was the last time you read a book about another author or another writer and their work habits and just finding out about their lives?
I got to say, no, I haven't read one in quite some time.
I think to me that's really useful. JT, have you spent?
I'm not like a writer.
But
so,
I know what you're listening to though right
okay,
now, which
right.
is a fantastic book.
Yes, so
I'm gonna put that up on
our
site.
Yeah, that would be good. I like
what
that.
What book are you listening to now?
Relentless.
Okay,
it is good. It's a lot of sports stories, but at the same time, it's telling you how to be relentless
in any area,
unstoppable in an area that you choose.
Okay.
But you can't be.
I think that I can safe to say this show's relentless in its pursuit of poetics.
Well, you know, it's the book. Just really quickly to the point, yeah. It's written by Tim Grover, who is the trainer of Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant,
okay.
Some of the biggest guys
Dwayne
in the
Wade.
NBA, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
And he talks about, you know, kind of how those guys go about things to make them so different than everybody else.
Okay. Yeah.
And then he says, talks about how you can apply that to being a poet, being a writer, being a businessman, being an athlete, being a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, any of those things. So it's really an effective book. So Tim Grover, Relentless, I definitely would check it out.
Yes.
And is that available in our store?
It will be
in a few minutes.
There you go. All right. And we'll get a kickback if you get it. So that's fine. Also, if you don't want to buy anything, we have it to where you can just do a single time donation. You can do a monthly subscription to where you can help out the show, keep us on the air. There's just a little donation box. Click on there. It's through PayPal. It's very easy. Now, we have some rules. We want 1 to 3 minute long poetry. If you have a good flow going, we'll let you go over. Obviously, we've done it time and time again. We don't want the magical F-bomb. That's immediate ejection from the show. Hate speech is another thing we don't put up with.
That's right.
I do want to add a couple of new ones. Be respectful of your other poets. When you call in, have your poem ready. Have it. When you get your order in line, when you know you're on the poet before you, hold the phone up to your ear. Be ready to come on the line with us. That being said, let's get 5 callers.
Now, I also have one other rule, right? I want to throw in there. If you do see us, this may or may not be a joking rule, by the way. When you do at least see me, when poets come around from all around the world for POSIC,
mm-hmm.
for at least the first 30 seconds, don't make eye contact with me. I panic and fall over.
You are like the startled sheep, yes.
It does happen.
All right. So now you're going to want to call 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Or you can use Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Meanwhile, the Hall of Justice, we have 5 lined up for you, but I do want to take issue on a correction from last week. Both of you gave me a hard time.
You're correcting us?
I got to.
Okay. Got to.
I used the word superlative correctly, and both you tried to convince me that I did not.
How did you use it?
I said someone's work was superlative. Now, if you Google the definition, I was actually correct in using that word.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all right. That's all right.
Oh,
I
no,
forget
go
you
on,
guys.
Go no, on, no, go no, on. No, steamroll no, through this no, so we no, don't no, have no, to discuss
that's
it.
That's fine.
No, two points. Here's a gold star for you. I hope you can feel good all about right. yourself when you go to bed tonight and cry yourself to sleep on your oversized pillow.
Why?
I'm hopping out of this while I can. Jeez.
Woo! All right.
Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's so rare that I get to correct you.
It's very true.
Yes.
You know, well, usually we're superlative.
All right.
Good
yeah. All right. Rock now that my blood's boiling, let's go to caller number 1. Please welcome. He's going to be a POSIC Fest performer. He is Dennis White.
Yes, I am. And it's getting closer, less than a month now.
That's right. Yeah, we got a few little more tweaks to do, and then we're going to have everything set and ready to go.
Did you get any kind of schedule down yet? You get a rough schedule?
I'm getting a rough schedule this weekend. There was a slight faux pas on my end. So.
Okay. All right.
I will get that.
Would it be too much to ask if that I'm not first and I'm not last in the lineup?
I guarantee you will not be first, nor will you be last.
You will be only.
No. Yeah. You're gonna appear 10
Whoa.
Times. You're gonna be first, last, and everything in between.
Oh my!
I'm kidding.
That's a lot of pressure.
No pressure, brother. No. I was gonna book you basically about halfway through. That way you
can
enjoy
perfect.
Some of the performances, perform, and then really sit back and enjoy the rest of the performances.
That's perfect.
All right.
I really should talk to you on the phone about stuff like that, but let's get some poetry started for tonight. How would you like that?
I'd love it.
All right. Well, to start off, I have a poem. The title is Giraffe. And it goes like this. I may be sticking my neck out on this, but not to speak up, I would be amiss. I stand head and shoulders above the rest, not bragging, mind you, others will attest. The spots of my coat are uniquely mine, different from as every snowflake design. Walking around, I'd look real smart, 'cause I'm a living, breathing work of art. I'm found in the wild and at the zoo, and I'm known for my big heart, too. 24 pounds, now that's a heart. My blood pressure is always off the chart. My tongue is black, but I don't lie. My head, it always bumps the sky. I run real fast, I have some power. I'm a mobile lookout tower. I'm a docile creature to all it seems, but protecting my own, I can't get mean. If attacked by a lion, my hooves will fly. I can shatter his skull, and he will die. I prefer to be peaceful, fun, and mild. I enjoy life running free in the wild. I stand head and shoulders above the rest. As a sociable creature, I do my best. In the poem.
That was a good poem.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always fun to play with different subjects and, try to step in different perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta ask you, did you do anything for Bad Poetry Day yesterday? It was National Bad Poetry for those that didn't note that.
I missed that. Oh. I just have to do some bad poetry tomorrow.
The boys around here say I do bad poetry whenever I pick up a pen, say, so there was no celebration for me either.
Every day is Christmas. No.
Go ahead.
No, Mike said every day is Christmas.
Every day is Christmas for a poet. Yes. I'm loving it.
Hey.
Well, I'm looking forward to Poetic Fest. My plans are made, and I'm starting to get ready to pack. Before long, we'll be together, my friend.
Yes, yes. Less than a month now, brother.
Yes, we're in the home stretch now.
We are.
All right. Well, thank you once again for providing this platform for poets around the world. It sure is appreciated, and we do really do respect and appreciate and honor you guys, because without you guys, this would never happen. You guys are great.
Thank you
so very much.
Thank you.
That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic. Good night and God bless. Sorry, I cut him off before he said that, so I fell in for him.
Shoot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's my bad. Dennis, I'm sorry. All right. So, yes, you guys, I want to say, you guys work your tails off to get the show off each week. I thank you guys from the bottom of my heart also.
Well, thank you, man. You know, I have to do so many squats, and I still have no butt. It's the truth. I really don't. I have the no butt gene.
I know.
And jeans. So that works.
I can't get away from mine.
You can't get away from yours? Are you trying to say you've been running from your ass for a while? You just can't seem to get away?
So when I was in a better shape than I am now, I couldn't get rid of it.
Mm.
It is a fixture on my life.
It's... It will always be there, my friend.
It's always behind him, too.
Unless you go on that ill-fated safari you had that dream about all those years ago.
That's true. I don't want that.
And then you'll have an amazing Ernest Hemingway-like story where your butt used to be.
You know, that would be kind of cool.
Someone who will never lead us on an ill-fated safari, please welcome, calling from Colorado Springs, he is Chris Fox.
Hey there, how's it going?
It's going good. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing well. Today started out rough, but I got a job today, so I'm pretty happy.
Nice. Where are you working? Where are we going to come hunt? Are you doing, like, serving? Can we come harass you and tip you?
No, I'm working at the Colorado Springs Youth Symphony.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
Yeah. Right?
That's very cool. What are you doing for them?
Just like data entry and helping them with bookkeeping and things.
Bravo.
They called it a receptionist job, but the way that they made it seem is like I just upkeep their books.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. But the poem I have tonight, I wrote on the 15th of August, so I don't quite have it memorized yet. I'll be reading it off the page, so I'm sorry if I mess it up.
No, you're fine.
It's called The Carrot on the Stick. I want to find peace, as it is so elusive, evading every attempt to capture effective use of merged cohesive continuity. And in its wake, as it moves out of reach, I'm left with chaos singing chorus of lullabies too sweet that lull me to sleep. So peace moves far that I have to fight, but I become broken to my own, but I become foreign to my own broken and shattered heart. Ever searching the horizon for some glimmer of hope, the trove of destiny that I believe peace seems to hold. But will I ever know, or chase the carrot on the stick, just hoping and hope that things could be different? I want to know tranquility, a sense of calm. Aim it toward my future to blast away these thoughts that tediously terrorize, torment, and haunt. But the sense doesn't number among those that are close, or of one that seems easy to host within myself that I could still call me whole. And not just another broken soul, searching beyond the stars, chasing the carrot on the stick, just to hope and hope that my life could be different. I want to see myself, how I look in my mind, and not how I mess up every interaction I try. I don't think it'd be hard. It just hasn't materialized yet. I'm too busy searching for things that I may only find when I'm dead. So for now, I'll just live. Stop chasing those things I'll never get. But maybe that's how I'll achieve them. Give up. Tune out, to turn to neglect. Yeah, that could be the fight that forges me too strong, so the feeble words of others bounce and ricochet off, that the carrot comes closer, much within reach, that I mold my future in the reality of tranquil peace. Thank you.
Very well done, my friend.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to post.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Posing Fest. I'm sorry. I hit mute on my phone.
No worries. Yeah, we are too. And we're looking forward to seeing you again, brother. It was great to have you last year. I'm looking forward to your set this year.
Yeah, I'm setting it up. So you guys have a great night. Looking forward to the rest of the show.
Looking forward to hearing from you during the return engagement, too. That was Chris on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. That's Chris from Colorado, not Chris from Michigan, because we do actually have a couple of Chris's that call from time
to
time.
Hey, you know, it's so interesting. This year felt like it went really fast, but then when I look back at the last Posig Fest we did, it actually strikes me as longer than a year.
Is that really?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it went fast.
It did go fast.
But I'm looking back on, man, that was a long time ago. But I think what I'm actually thinking of is all the stuff that's happened since that last one.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be about a year, about a day additional.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just a few days from now would have been, because we have the Friday off before we start school on Monday when the kids come.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, that Friday off was when I did the Silent Still show.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Today was that Friday this year. So just a few days off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Time flies though. And I gotta say, from June when we opened this up for booking till now has flown.
Yes.
So
very much so.
So we might have to start earlier next year, maybe May 1st. All right. So we do have another caller on the line. This one from Ohio. Please welcome Sean Tucker.
Hi.
Hey, welcome aboard, my friend.
Good to be here.
Welcome back to our show. Do you have poetry for us?
Yes, I do. We'll do a little intro for this piece. With the seasons changing to fall here pretty soon, I'm pretty excited about it. It's always been one of my favorite seasons. So I used it for a metaphor for my next piece as relating it to my life and what I've found lately, and that is what I'm going to read about. This is untitled, and here I go. I was waiting for fall. I said, Lord, let these leaves fall on me. Bury me with my pain somewhere deep. Leaves tumbled, one painful lesson after another. His thunder rumbled on me. But something happened, inevitably. Leaves didn't smother me as I had hoped they would be. She came into my life, accompanied by three. As my tired eyes began to see what was hiding beneath these leaves, the real me that I almost forgot I could be. So as the leaves would fall, I remained above them all. My pride, my joy, is now framed in this picture on the wall. Thank you, God, for the fall. In peace.
I love that last line there.
Yes. Very well.
Thanks, guys.
And are you going to call back for the return engagement as well, my friend?
Yeah, I will. I will.
Beautiful. Well, we've missed you. I'm glad you're back on calling our show again.
Good deal. Glad to be back on.
We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
That was Sean Tucker on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Yeah. Now, we had a blast of fall move through about, would you say about 4:30 this afternoon?
Yeah,
and you described the wind in a particular way. You've got to bring that up again because that was amazing. Tell the whole story about what you were doing.
I'm trying to remember out of it. Okay, so I'm trying to remember.
Rob Strokers?
Oh, yes, yes. So I was Strokers, that's nice. No, so I've been in the studio all day and just had a few minutes before I was getting ready to head over here. JT's just looking at me. So I'm like, okay, I have a few minutes to take a nap. Lay down, windows open, because it's warm here, right? Lay down, close my eyes, take a breath, about 30 seconds. Boom! This wind comes blowing in. The curtains like actually blow onto my face. Rain's coming in. It's like a gale from Bram Stoker's Dracula, the movie, not the book. And it was just...
With the Winona Ryder.
Yeah. But I mean, it literally, I had 30 seconds before I had this shot of adrenaline and whoa! And then I had to, you know, get up. And so it was nature's equivalent of just dumping a bucket of water on my head.
You basically got the 5-hour energy beverage of Stormburst.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yes.
You know?
All right. So, from Ohio, let's go to Florida.
Woo-hoo.
Please welcome from Florida. She is Diane.
Hello, gentlemen. Forgive
me, you use that term loosely.
How are you all tonight?
Doing good.
Okay. So do I just start?
If you want to, what kind of poetry do you have for us tonight?
Tonight I've got an older poem.
All right.
It is called For First Loves. Today is my eldest daughter's birthday, so this was actually written for her father, but after we had broken up.
All right.
Okay. The words are like ghosts written upon water. My finger trails the line of our progress, a slow boat ride on Burke Lake. While you manfully handle the oars, I lay back and watch the sun shine through your hair, blooming gold through the verdant green forest around us. White gold. I lay watching my man at work. We follow a mama duck, her ducklings paddling behind her until they disappear into the thistles. On the edge of the lake, we light a small fire, toast bread spread with a sharp cheddar, share a bottle of good Merlot. I remember lying in the warm sun, head upon your chest, tasting the wine upon your lips, dreaming this would last forever. Who would ever know that like small ducklings disappearing into the sunset, our lives written like words upon water, Your beautiful blue eyes would eventually stop peering into mine and disappear from my life. Today, 30 years later, I see them staring up at me from my granddaughter's face, your grace, always hidden behind a well-stroked full beard. Your laughter always close to the surface, cheerful and warm, like holding cold hands to a warm blaze. I miss them. I miss you. I talk to you every day in my mind, even if you don't hear, but somehow I think you do. I remember the quiet lake, the warm taste of red wine, the small down of a baby duckling, the seeds of our love already sprouting inside my warm womb. I trail my fingers across the water's edge, writing words that, like ghosts, disappear long before either of us would ever be able to witness our ending, hoping for hope, for new beginnings. There's a new grandchild arriving in March. Perhaps he or she will bear your high forehead or my widow's peak, your large blue eyes, my intense green ones, your lips, my chin, a blonde child as we were blonde and tan in a far-off universe when we thought love would conquer all.
Love your work.
Thank you.
Always a big fan.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you very much.
I got to say, you kind of made my morning this morning. I didn't know if you'd like that poem or not.
I haven't received it yet.
I sent it to you.
You did?
I did.
Oh, okay. I'll double check my message. Did you inbox it to me through Facebook?
I did.
Okay. I just need to go through. It's been a hectic day today. It has been, yes.
Diane, just you know, whenever you can, just make sure you send him a picture of a gold star. That usually helps him.
Tell him he's going to get about 10 of them.
All right.
10 gold stars.
Everybody's done commenting on his work. And just to let everybody know, Jay Todd has agreed to be a guest poet on Poem Kabili this week.
It was by accident.
By accident.
No, I just went to
see what
I have
this cheeseburger by accident.
No. I went to see what the words are for this week, and there were two words that I could really easily work with. And I'm like, all right, got my poem, and I wrote it at lunch break.
Spontaneous.
Okay, they're going to be published on Tuesday. So then everybody will be able to admire your lovely work.
I don't know about it. Lovely. You have to read the poem yet.
I'm going to get right on it after the show.
Awesome. Diane, thank you. And hopefully we'll hear from you during the return engagement.
I hope so, sir. You enjoy yourself, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in PK. God bless.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
That was Diane on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spontaneously.
Spontaneous. Not by accident.
I always associate spontaneous with spontaneous combustion, and it didn't really happen like that.
Well, you kind of did. You went and looked at it, and you were like, what? Zutalo! I know these two words.
Well, no, it wasn't I know these two words. It was like, I can work with these two words.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Two words I can always work with. Please welcome from Connecticut, Barbara Aaron True.
Hey.
Hey.
Got stuck in the chat room giving out gold stars.
Nice. I heard somebody hearted in there, too.
Yes. They heart a lot in there.
Yeah.
You know, you get used to it eventually.
You do.
So, tomorrow is the anniversary of the time when my husband came back from the Army in 1964. And that's a long, long time ago. I mean, that is so long ago. Anyway, and so I wrote this poem. It's going to be in my book. Not that I'm reading every poem that I have in my book, but I might. And I think I read it here, but it's kind of about what happened when he came back, and he went to college together and all this stuff. And we used to go to this place called the Hollywood.
Okay.
And believe it or not, it is still in Cortland. And
Cortland,
in my
Nebraska?
Book, you're going to see. Yes. No, Cortland, New York.
Oh,
so naturally they named it Hollywood.
Of course.
The Hollywood. I don't know why they called it the Hollywood. This was a dump. I mean, really.
They have some places in Hollywood they call, like, Paramount Pictures, and it's a dump.
No, it had like formica tables and little jukeboxes on the side of the table. You know, those little old-fashioned jukeboxes on the side of the table that you could just put a. It used to be nickels then, but now it's quarters. And you can play your song.
Now you just slide your credit card and plug in the MP3. You're good to go.
Yeah. So you have to have sitting on the dock of the bay in the background of this song because it's basically about that. And it's called Sorry, I have to take my mouth out.
Poem title 2.
Reflections while listening to Otis Redding. I hear Otis Redding singing Sitting on the Dock of the Bay and remember us sitting in Hollywood eating French fries and singing along as we gazed into each other's eyes, your hazel glance boring deep into my heart. And we hummed along, one hand holding the other, as the free ones dipped French fries into ketchup. And when the song ended after a kiss across the table, we put another quarter into the convenient jukebox, at our table, and chose it again and again and again, the background for our stolen hours away from the books and uncaring of the time we spent as if we had suspended the moment, and it hung there in a bubble of love we created in that booth, your smile and your love surrounding me as they would for years afterward, though at the time I only felt the intense beating of my heart in your presence and the joy of the time we spent not knowing we were building the foundation for the invisible structure of our life together, from moment to moment, and cemented by the memories we created as we splashed through the years, bound together with the strand we had fastened to each other of faith in our dreams and hope for the fulfillment of our happiness. A strand so strong it continued after your light extinguished and your beautiful mind was at last at rest. And no longer did the world hear your voice, and no longer did I hear your voice whispering to me in private, reminding me of our first love moments when it was enough to sit and listen, not realizing it that it would be me left sitting on the proverbial dock of the bay, as the loneliness won't leave me alone. End poem.
You've read that before on the show, right? And then Chris came on and actually sang Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yeah, I think so. I read that a while ago, but I figured I'd read it again as, you know, because it's the anniversary. And,
No, it's good that you repeat poems, but it jogged my memory. I was like, oh, yeah, that was the night that Chris sang Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yeah, that was that song. Just, you know, the minute I hear it, I tear up because it's like, you know.
I feel the same way about Metallica's Master of Puppets, but we're not going to go into that story. Yeah. We're going to leave the events of last August to themselves.
Seriously, though, guys, I'm glad Jay Todd is coming on Poem Coupley. And I asked Diane if I could be a guest, but someone else has my place. So I will be a guest the following week.
Okay.
So maybe,
well, you know, they haven't read the poem yet. They may not like it. And they may go, Barbara, you're queued up.
So. I'm sure that your poem is going to be great.
I don't know about that.
Don't feel that worry, because it's going to be great.
Be honest, I belittle my work a lot, but I never feel that worry. I just write for my own pleasure, and if anybody likes it, that's great.
We all do. We all do when it comes out, and someone says, wow, and you say, oh, okay, this is how the words came out, you know?
Yeah. So, Barbara, I thank you. I hope we hear from you during the return engagement as well.
Yes, I will try. I have to find another poem. I think I'm writing one now. So.
Oh, you're pulling a Mariah on us.
Definitely.
Mariah.
I mean, so she's in the middle of babydom. It's a long, hard road you track with that.
Yes. My wife was nuts for about 7 years.
It takes a while, yeah. Okay. So I'll see you guys later, and keep on trucking, I guess.
Awesome. Thank you, Barbara. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
You know what I love about the any conversation, and it's not putting too fine a point on anybody who says it. It's just conversations are always funny to me when they end with just kind of a silence, and someone just goes, "Well, keep on trucking." I don't know why that cracks me up so much, but that's my favorite ending to a conversation.
Barbara, you thrilled Michael.
Although I will say, I've decided I'm going to start or finish conversations a different way. Right. When I'm talking with someone I don't see very often, because it sounds mysterious, but it gets them thinking. So what I'll do is, say I'm talking to a friend named, I don't know, Tim or something. And so when I'm leaving, I'll be like, I'll turn and look like and walk away and then stop and go, "Oh, hey, Tim." He turns back around. I'll go, "When the time comes, do the right thing." And then I'll turn around and walk the other direction.
Nice. That's actually a really good seed to plant in anybody.
That's what I think I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Hey, can I read a submission?
I think that's what our plan was.
Yeah. It's not sub to the mission. It's part of a mission, but it was submitted, and that's why we're doing it. So.
We need to come up with a submission little sounder.
You know what? Give me a few minutes. We can come up with one.
All right.
JT, I can come up with one tonight and send it to you so we have it.
All right.
Okay. This one is from Justin Avon, or Avon.
Okay.
It's A-V-A-N. So, Justin, if I'm mispronouncing it, I'm sorry. This is called this is called Desolate. There's a black hole swarming in my rib bones, tightening my wrists and confining my blood flow, choking my words out through the ink of my pen. This is where I end. Just like how I began. Fixated manifestations and concocted illusions, you are the bloodstains on my holy communion. Coursing to the window for a midnight flight, I am the hours and the moon at night. Pure communication between my tongue and your throat, I am the life behind the words I just wrote. Forlorn embodiment and paper-thin skin, on the brink of pseudo, on the path of sin. Gone postal on my own imagination, forced reclusion from the world's discrimination, deepened wounds left by my hand, impious act resulted by enforced reprimand, daunting expectations of my body and soul, I am the ensemble of a radical control, waging torment beneath this flesh, I am the newborn, I am the last breath. That's called Desolate. It's from Justin Avon.
Well done, Justin.
Good job. And he submitted by sending it to worldpoetryopenmic @gmail.com or on the contact form on the site.
Yes. And you can have your poetry read much the same way. We know it's kind of daunting to call our show. We don't bite. We try to be as kind to everybody as we can. But we know people get nervous, so you could try there for the first time and then call our show afterwards. All right, so this is the normal spot where I do my poetry, but I'm not doing my poetry right now.
What?
Nope.
Wait, hold up. Stop the presses. What happened this last week?
Vicky Vale.
Yeah,
sorry.
Who is that?
Sorry. My apologies. She got a little taken away.
She's dating some guy named Wayne? Well, she's about to trade up.
So, no. We did a bad poetry contest yesterday at work.
Yeah.
My job. I work in the activities committee. I thought it'd be kind of a cool little one-off to do. So we needed a special guest celebrity judge for said bad poetry contest.
Mm.
And being as how Michael was kind of busy, you know, getting ready for the school year and all that.
Yeah, I had to be there.
We had to bring in the ringer, the haiku master, to do the judging. And I want to take a big moment to say thank you. You did a great job. You are an absolute boss when it comes to judging bad poetry contests.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No one knows bad poetry better than you.
You are a cleaner of bad poetry judges.
There you go.
By the way, if you go to our store under books and under our favorites, you'll find Relentless. And if you read that in any of its forms, including the audiobook, which I listen to while working out,
You
will understand what I just said.
Yes. All right.
So, I'm going to read third, second, and first place in that order. The first first entry, which is third place, is by a coworker of mine named Jessie Reed. She left it untitled, but this is how she did bad poetry. It's dark, cloudy, and the wind is blowing. I'm awful thankful it isn't snowing. My hair is a mess, my eyes are dry. Thank goodness I'm still super fly. Yeah, see?
All right. That was a good one.
So, my work, I work in the healthcare field where we do billing and billing revenue cycle for hospitals. But we also are adjoined to a debt collection agency called IRA, Integral Recoveries.
Yep.
Okay. The most second, American part of healthcare.
There you go. The most American.
the debt collection.
So this came from the IRI side. They have a guy named David Bates who wrote this. Now, I don't envy him the job he does, and this kind of explains why. This is entitled, Discovering More Than You Wanted to Know. They just got fired. They are sick. They died too young. They're not going to pay. Knowing that you have a job, sometimes that job uncovers pain. Next, this one might pay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And it was one that was kind of confusing because we're like, either it was really bad poetry or it was really, really good poetry. Yeah. So we opted with he'd get second place.
Okay.
Right. And I say we opted. I had no part of the judging.
Yeah, no. It was like,
I was there for reference as far as what was bad poetry versus what was good poetry.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, is this good or bad? Read some of mine and compare it.
Yeah, it's pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, it's just like it.
There you go. That's first place. No, actually. First place was a special one because not only was it really bad poetry, but it was a collaboration between two employees, Ivana and Tanya, again, an untitled piece, and it's just two lines. Kentucky Fried Chicken is original. Seven spices, and none are nice.
Nice.
Yeah. So, they won first prize with that one. Congratulations, guys. It was fun doing this, and we may do another poetry contest, next year or something, but... you guys all did well. It was fun. We had great participation, a lot better than I thought at first.
Yes.
So,
yeah, it was pretty good. And the other ones in that pile,
yeah,
they're good. I mean, it was like
they weren't actually bad.
They weren't actually bad.
No,
at all.
Chris Landers, Libby McGinley, Ashley, they all wrote these poems that were too good to be judged in a bad poetry contest.
Really?
Yeah, I read them and I was like, no, that's too good. No, that's too good.
I would be so tempted in a situation like that to write something like, this morning I woke up. Worst decision I ever made. I became imminently aware of my death. So I decided to come here. The end.
For 8 hours.
Wow.
Now I caught wind of a couple that were not submitted because they were not work appropriate. Hilarious.
They sounded like there once was a debt collection company in Nantucket.
No, not. I told them we couldn't do the Nantucket. We'd already heard that one, but
you haven't heard everyone.
They were not work safe. Let's just call it that.
Okay.
All right.
So that'll do it for that segment. Let's go ahead and load up them phone lines again. If you haven't called our show yet, we want all unique callers 720-240-9766.
We're loading up them lines, 720-240-9766.
Or you can always use the Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic on the internet thing called Skype. All right, and we're back. What is with that date, September 17th? It's like a vortex in time, space-time continuum.
What's causing you to believe that?
Well, the deadline for the anthology is the 17th. Posick Fest is the 17th.
You know, 4 days before that, I'm conducting a choir singing for the Archbishop of Denver.
That might be a little fun, too. Especially if you can get them to do some really interesting songs, like I Did It All for the Nookie.
Well, see, that one, I'm not a huge Limp Bizkit guy, you know? But I will say, I'm trying to work in the Hokey Pokey.
There you go.
It is truly what it's all about.
It really is, yeah. Man. I haven't been able to disprove it yet.
You know, we're all going to die, get to heaven, and go, so... It's really what it's all about. And everybody's dancing around in heaven.
Can you imagine going through a tunnel of light and you go to, you know, they're judging you and you hear from beyond the gate, you hear.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, man. I think that.
My big
because it would be in a trumpet, and
either that or you'd hear, and you do the thing where you're like, "Wait a second, where am I?"
My big fear is that I go towards the tunnel light, and it turns out to be another birth cavity. I'm just like, I'm back,
man. Every already. Time I hear a trombone playing the baby elephant walk, I know it's about time to get born.
Hey, guess what guys? Hell?
How do I end up saying these things?
I don't know. We do have two callers, which triggers the return engagement.
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 However, we will be having a special segment between this segment in the return engagement.
Do we have to do that thing again?
No.
Okay.
We want to be respectful of our callers. Someone who deserves the utmost respect for his poetic master works. Please welcome. Are you laughing? Please welcome Philip from Kentucky.
I can't help it. I'm so self-deprecating most of the time that I just, when people say things like that, though I adore it, and don't take me, you know, it flatters me, but I blush, and you make me smile, Jay Todd. You sound like you all are in good spirits tonight.
We are.
Good, good.
Actually, I quit doing the spirits thing, but I'm in a good mood, but I'm not drinking.
Touche, sir. Well said. And just to throw out there, I've been watching some of the Olympics. And good stuff, fascinating. But with watching the Olympics, I've caught a few commercials, and I just want to go out on a limb and say I don't think Dr. Scholes really has a medical license.
You know, I've been questioning that for a while.
It makes one ponder, right?
You know? I'm thinking he's one of those mail-order doctors.
And I'm going to throw this out, too. I've also been thinking about it. I don't really think Deepak Chopra has one either.
Thank you. I'm so right. But it doesn't stop him from talking about all kinds of new age stuff.
And so. Every time he wants to be credible, he makes sure to mention he's Dr. Deepak Chopra before he starts talking about
How
some
about
crazy
Deepak,
stuff.
Deepak Chopra hosted by Garrison Keillor. Now that is an evening.
That would be more than an evening. A little overstimulation when it comes to recreational pharmaceuticals. That would be an incredible evening.
It's the potential of unlimited.
Who is the most dry among you two? I don't know.
The field of unlimited potentiality. Out here in Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the women. All the children have terrible memories. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
Okay, it's a great atmosphere, and I'm always happy to be back. I'm glad you guys are doing well. It's good to hear laughter and so forth. And I'll get to it then, so I know I have many other callers that are coming in, and it's really great. I love hearing poets bring to the fore their work. I mean, it's really I'm indebted to your guys' kindness, to your platform. I know I always say that, but I do mean it. It's good for all of us, so cheers to that, and here we go. Long title, or typical title, I don't know, can't say long anymore, right? Four-line title for anyone who's interested. Excerpts from an unfinished manifesto originally titled A Caliban Among False Prosperos, and Vice Versa, Depending on One's Peculiar Point of View. And here we go. Prefer indolence to money-making schemes. Lose your house and treasured possessions chasing after the elusive, some indefinable thing contrary to what is presented as picket fence normalcy. Count the similarities between capitalism and cannibalism until sickened. Undress yourself in art. Denude fear and inhibitions with acts unrewarded except by love. The greatest of these gifts born in the irony of polemical sacrifice. Would rather labor long and assiduous at noble failure than being enslaved to someone else's fatuous dreams. Feudal systems remodeled as minimum wage toil, earning fractions of a dollar for conglomerate strangers. Why not rebel against those who will not attend your funeral? Stoically accept insults offered by nabob naysayers as compliments and titles earned. Calling me ribald and vulgar is worth passion's pursuit, a savage among the regal, disregarding petty etiquette for a bit of honest commerce, conversations about foibles and urges that haunt us. Writing of incendiary merits, wreathed in flames around muses, even when it enrages. Strike hard against common sense and oversimplified morals, if only to win inflammatory questions sharpened on the status quo, hardened by corruption. Every day we risk our lives, whether it's acknowledged or not, might as well make it worthwhile. Besides, who wants a deathbed without regrets or losses, so evocative of humanness? The critically examined life, winnowing wheat from chaff, finding and preserving what is sacred at all costs. The rest remains uninspired vulgarity, better left among meaningless waste and detritus no less than the unnamed buried without the ceremony. And there it is, fellers.
As always, my friend, I'm in awe of your work. Just, you know, I'm so blessed to have you sharing on the show.
I appreciate that. I truly do. I appreciate all you guys, and I appreciate all my fellow poets, too. And I just wanted to throw out there, Dennis, good sir, I really relished your giraffe poem tonight. It made me feel like a kid in the best of ways. I felt like, you know, some, you know, uncle was reading to me a story that would might, you know, let me go into a peaceful sleep. It was a delight. And nice. Thank you guys. So cheers, and I look forward to the next poets.
Looking forward to hearing you again during the return engagement too, my
yes,
friend.
Sir, absolutely, count on it.
Awesome.
All right.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Right on.
Right on.
Right on, bro.
This is good radio right now.
It is.
Yeah. It's actually been a good show.
You saw what horrible shape I was in. I've been really needing this show
today. Oh yeah, yeah.
So,
well, you honestly, dude, I think it was more internal. Like, you didn't seem like you were in that bad of shape when we were talking.
I was
Wednesday.
I was.
You're ready
like
to pick a fight with the
Irishman.
World.
I wanted to pick a fight with the world by the time you guys saw me.
It was funny. JT and I were sitting in the back, and then J Todd comes walking up, and I swear I saw him look at this, you know, table of teenage girls and be like, "Did you look at me wrong? Why are you looking at me like that? Do you want to fight?" We were
pretty much.
"Whoa, J Todd, calm down, buddy."
And put that pitchfork away.
put that trident away. Once again, you're not a mob. You're just slightly being schizophrenic right now.
All right. Someone that's not schizophrenic, please welcome from Pennsylvania. He is Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Is this the one, the only James Roth line?
Yes, it is.
I have a bone to pick with you. You are absolutely spanking me at Words with Friends.
Good choice of words there, poet.
Yes. Very well,
well
done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Pretty
yes.
good.
Yeah. So do you have a poem for us tonight?
Yes, I was. There was three I was deciding on. One was called Father Phantasm, and well, the last time I tried reading that was, I never finished it because I had found out that my dad had passed away 2 weeks before. Ooh. By accident. Well, I found out by accident that he passed away. So I don't know if I want to do that one. Another one is one I had just recently written. And a third one, it was based on a popular movie from the 80s.
All right. So our Radio Anger crew is asking for the movie from the 80s one. I am, as a poet, asking you to step up, face your demons, and pick the one that you read when you accidentally found out your father passed.
That's okay. One. I'd go for that one too, actually.
Let's do that one.
Okay. Well, when I first tried writing it, it was meant to be a homage to Daddy by Sylvia Plath, but I wanted to do it from my own perspective. Okay, so it's Father Phantasm. Half seen in my half stare, half believing you are there. Faded memories and faded thoughts, raindrops falling on sun-seared rock, quickly come and quickly part. I was 11 when you did not die. You took your leave, never saying goodbye. And I, the fool, follow the fool, walking barefoot on broken glass, and tread upon the blood-stained shards, waiting to wound me ere I pass. End of poem.
See? You did well.
Yeah, good work.
Yeah. Jim, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on our show. Are you going to be calling back for the return engagement?
I'm not sure. I have some housework I got to get done, and I'll be out. And the only way I can actually listen and call is on my phone.
I understand.
Yeah, my laptop won't let me listen for some reason.
That is strange. Have you downloaded the Mixlr app?
Yeah, I tried, and it was all funky.
Okay.
All right. Well, that is strange. Definitely just check out the Mixlr site and see if there's anything you can troubleshoot there with it.
Okay. I will do that, and hopefully I'll be able to start calling on a more regular basis.
Beautiful.
I'm in the process. I'm switching jobs, and I should be working the morning shift.
Oh, good.
Awesome. So that means your Friday nights are clear to, you know, hang out with your poet friends.
Yeah. And I will try and call next week. My reenactment unit is going to be having our event in Lebanon.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone's really good there. Yes. There's a Unicanal Park right behind the Lebanon Valley Mall, and that's where we're going to be doing our event.
All right.
So if there's anybody in the list, any listeners in the Lebanon County area, they're welcome to come by.
Awesome.
Next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And you're doing Civil War reenactment, right?
Yeah. Or as I put it, shooting at people because of the color of their clothes.
Wow, things have changed since that, and, you know, the Crips and Bloods and stuff.
Yeah, my coworker Sylvia said, okay, Jim, whatever. Just go back to work.
You know, my wife says that a lot. Okay, Jay, whatever. Jim, as always, thank you for calling our show.
Thank you for having me.
That was Jim from Pennsylvania on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Yeah. They had Civil War reenactments in the area where I grew up. And this guy's like, hey, you know, and they've got little displays, different things throughout the whole reenactment. And this guy was a cook. And he's like, hey, ever have raccoon? I'm like, no. He did. He fed me raccoon.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it just sent me down this long road of finding interesting stuff to eat. I could have been Andrew Zimmerman if I really wanted to. No, just kidding.
Never mind, I'm not going to ask you that. So, I at one point, I actually was interested in Civil War reenactment, not to be in it, but because from the filmmaking thing. So when I was a kid, I was kind of like interested in, you know, in all of that.
And I had met this older guy who was in the movie Gettysburg as one of the extras and all that, and you know, the reenactors, because they had come from all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of became friends with them, and my dad had taken me over, and my dad was with me, and he was showing me some of his collectibles and stuff, and my dad noticed some things were a little bit off in the house. And so a few weeks later, I tried calling him again to return something to him. Phone just rang and rang and rang and rang and rang, and never heard from him, and heard about him about 6 years later, and found out he had been sent to jail for child molestation.
What?
And was in, I think he might still be in, I don't know.
Wow.
But this was a long time ago. But that was kind of a creepy thing. That kind of put me off of it. But it's not that it's that, that's not any way tying to that.
No.
That's just my.
That's your own story.
That's my own story, which might end up in a.
In memoirs?
Yeah. I have a plan to do a memoir thing, but it's going to be five life stories. That may or may not be true, and you have to choose which one you think it is.
Kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure for Michael's life.
Yeah. Whatever you want to perceive it to be.
Nice.
Time for me to do a submission, yeah?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, you know, we got a lot of good submissions this week.
We did.
And so the ones I'm not reading this week, I'll read this next week, okay?
All right.
But this one I read through, and I just thought it was so different. And it starts out sounding a little After Dark, but just bear with it. This one's called by Gabby Neves, and it's called I Think I Found God. I touched myself under the red neon lights, and I think I found God at 2 a.m. between my sheets. But I've been busy spreading love too thin, with my legs raised into the pale afternoon sky. You took me higher than ever. Yet still my heart breaks at the idea of your breath getting further from my lungs. You play in my mind like a broken record, all the ways that you complete me. I am completely me. I am completely empty. The lights get dimmer by the second at some odd, dusty gas station, and the flicker reminds us of a time where the grayness under our eyes was just gold covered in dust. Hidden behind the mirror, I find the truth inscripted between words, stuttering like my blood flow up and downstream. I know it's been hard to accept that ashes won't ever be flames again, but I've got a lighter in my front pocket, and I carry it wherever I go, just in case you get cold enough to let me set fire to your lungs again. I'm blinded by the sun. As the days turn to weeks, the weeks into months, I can't stop this rotation. I watch as your heart slowly beats out of town, suitcases filled with memories better kept in dusty boxes. Bruises find their way up my thighs to remind me of where your hands used to be. I inject the stars into my arm and wait for reality to catch up to my fingertips. But the further I get, the harder it is to see the truth. I guess it's just easier to live in a world outside of your own. I think I found my distraction. I think I found God. And that was I Think I Found God by Gabby Neves.
Holy crap, Gabby. Very well done.
And so that was, once again, submitted, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com.
Wow, they really brought it A-level.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty more that were just as good. I just thought that was just such a different tenor.
Yes.
That we should.
Gabby, well done. Mike, well read.
Thank you.
Wow. I don't even want to read this now because this is going to pale in comparison. All right. So this is the one that I submitted for Poetry Kabili. It's entitled Flaming Phalanges. The Order has been hidden, lying dormant for years, the lone surviving member clandestine by the oaths taken, awaiting the time to begin anew. Years, decades have rolled by, initiatory rites rewritten and performed, embracing the muse's call, enslaved by them. Each clock tick brings us closer to reemergence, where old oaths will be recited by new writers. The old poet remembers line by line every word. As he prepared to bring forth the order once more, waiting for the one poet to show the signs, to show their dedication to their craft, where they are found, when they are found, their ceremony will adjourn with brilliant flashes of blue light radiating through rites after darkened times. When they are found, when the chosen one has been spotted, resistance is futile.
Great job, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And the words were clandestine and futile.
Were they?
Yeah.
But what were the words?
See, I slipped them in so well that you can't even remember that they were clandestine and futile.
But what were the words?
There you go. See? All right. So, we will be doing the return engagement in just a few moments, but we have a special monthly segment we like to do around here where JT fires up the Hadron Collider and we teleport from our studio to Studio X.
That was
smooth like itty grit sandpaper.
JT, that's not your fault, man.
No, I signaled you and you weren't looking, and that's all right.
Well, and we didn't know to do it. You just...
No, we did. It was an unplanned.
Just,
I thought we were going
to... You just by mistake did it on the fly.
Yeah, that's all right.
Hey, man, we're here. That's what matters, JT. We're all very much aware of what you bring to the show. Thank you, brother.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Can we try?
Yeah.
You got a pretty mouth.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Good, huh? Okay. We're good.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. Let's just do this. I'm not even going to qualify it. Okay, here we go.
Storm came over me. And I felt my spirit break. I had lost all of my belief, you see. Realize my mistake, but time threw a prayer to me, and all around me became still. I need love. Love divine, please forgive me now. I see that I've been blind. Give me love. Love is what I need to help me know my name. Through the rainstorm came sanctuary. I felt my spirit fly. I had found all of my reality. I realized what it takes. 'Cause I need love. Love divine, please forgive me now. I see that I've been blind. Give me love. Love is what I need to help me know my name. Whoa, I don't bend, don't break. Show me how to live and promise me you won't forsake. Cause love will help me know my name. Yeah, love. Love can help me know my name. I need love, love divine. Please forgive me now, I see that I've been blind. Give me love, love is what I need to help me know my name. Oh, don't bend, don't you break. Show me how to live it and promise me you won't forsake. Cause love will help me know my name. As I try to understand the meaning of love, love will help me know my name. My name. My name.
Mm. Very well done.
Thank you. So, for all of those who don't know, that was a cover of an older song by Seal called Love's Divine. Go nice. Check it out.
Nice.
Well, shall we go to the next segment, the engagement that we have?
You don't have another one you'd like to share?
I could do another one. How about this?
In the chat room. Do you guys want to hear another one?
It's up to you.
Yeah. Anybody that's in chat room, answer us now. Do you want to hear another one from Michael Amade?
Just a moment. Okay. While the transmission delay. Yes, from Diane. Yes, Don.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Another yes from Diane.
Okay, so let's just do this.
And
okay.
Another.
Okay.
And,
you guys need to heart what he's doing now.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let's see here.
Ola says yes.
Okay, just stall for me for a second. I got to figure out what I'm going to do.
No worries.
Diane is now laughing out loud. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Please keep reading that.
Yeah, somebody
I'll
heart.
I'll just read the chat out yes. loud, okay?
Oh, there's another heart.
Yeah, there was a heart, yes. I'm sorry. I couldn't help that.
That's fine.
All right.
No, and we're not going to hear any of this at Posick Fest, so this is just stuff exclusive to World Poetry Open Mic.
I literally just find songs like that, although I will be playing at Posick, and one of the things that's kind of cool is having Dennis and Cynthia, who have both been supporters of my music and have you know, copies of my albums and books and stuff, which is so cool. I'll be able to actually perform for them in the same room, which
that's
is cool.
Be beautiful. The whole thing is beautiful. The Posick Fest, you guys, you really suggested something that I really enjoyed doing, and thank you guys for pushing me to do that last year.
Yeah, of course.
Helping me to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, no, I really, when you guys suggested it, I was like, no. So.
Let me get tuned here first. Oh.
It's swamping here. All right, here we go.
And the boys from North Dakota drink whiskey for their fun. And the cowboys down in Texas, they polish up their guns. And they look across the border to learn the ways of love. If you love me, say I love you. If you love me, say I do. If you love me, say I love you. If you love me, say I do. And you can say I love you. And you can say I do. So I drink myself some whiskey, and I dreamed I was a cowboy, and I rode across the border. If you love me, say I love you. If you love me, take my hand. If you love me, say I love you. If you love me, take my hand. And you can say I love you. And you can have my hand. I remember in the morning waking up with your arms around my head. You told me you can't sleep forever, and I still hold you there. The weather's getting colder, you know it's even cold down here, and the words you've told me ain't frozen in the air. And sometimes I look right through them as if they were not there. And the boys from North Dakota, they drink whiskey for their fun. And the cowboys down in Texas, they polish up their guns, and they run across the border to learn the ways of love.
Nice.
Thank you. I actually learned that one on a ranch, or no, a farm in South Colorado.
Okay.
Really desolate area. And then forgot about it until I was working on a farm in North Dakota.
Really?
And played that, and I haven't played it since. So that was just kind of a...
I gotta ask, only because the phraseology reminds me of somebody. That's not a Danny Gatton song, is it?
It's not. It's a Lyle Lovett song.
Really?
Yeah.
The phraseology in the song itself, I was like, that's got to be Gatton that wrote that.
Well, you know, I'm not familiar with him, so I'll look him up. I love the phraseology. But anyway, thanks, guys. And there was a few flub things in there, but hey, it was spontaneous, and it was cool and fun, so...
Yeah, it wasn't by accident at all.
They liked it.
There was by accident.
Yes.
They liked it.
Yes. That was
very
cool.
They really did.
Awesome.
I'd never heard that before. That was really cool.
Awesome.
All right. Shall we go back?
Let's go back. Let's give these guys what they're looking for.
All right.
Hang on.
It's all right, man. I'm going to do a power squat to get ready for this change.
Okay.
Hurry up. That was the closest thing to a shard I've ever heard on the radio.
It won't be the last.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
so,
that one just dropped right out of any class we had at all.
It was really nice, and then all of a sudden you just dropped. Yeah, we did.
What?
It's like X-Men, only WPOM, first class.
All the way.
Wow.
Yeah. bad.
All right, so we know you're itching to share poetry. We want to hear your poetry. You're going to want to call now for the return engagement, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Even if you haven't called this show, you can call again right now. And we're back. I have to tell a story about our bad poetry contest yesterday. We joke around about JT taking extra good care of us.
I don't joke around about that.
No,
he actually does.
It's absolutely freaking true. But JT and I have worked together for 20 years. He knows me too well. When I get into doing live bits, I tend to get a little scatterbrained. And every time I turn around to grab the next poem and announce the winner, he made sure that they were in the right order and motioned to which one I was supposed to be picking up and reading.
See?
And I'm like, wow, he really is the best technical producer there is.
That's the thing, man. We've talked about this before. But we'll be anywhere, like live events, anything, and go, oh, I need a pen. And then suddenly this hand holding a pen will just come right in front of you, and it's JT.
Yeah. He literally knows. He's kind of like Radar O'Reilly. It's kind of weird.
He puts the stud in studio.
Now all he needs is an IOU.
There's no U, just an IO.
He just needs an IO.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay, let's just move on. That was awful.
All right, so we do have three callers for this return engagement.
This is a slow night.
Well, there's a lot of NFL action, preseason action. It doesn't really count, guys, so you shouldn't be watching it.
Yeah, there's the Olympics. The Olympics, too.
I guess there's a couple of season finales, so of course we're going to be running a little bit slow.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. And it's summer.
I like it. We just gave all kinds of reasons why. We're just
Just going to give our audience.
The only reason, the only reason, no guys want to. You know, no reason. You're not. You don't have a date on Friday night.
Why?
Honestly,
yeah.
Just that no guys just can handle your pure awesomeness. You're just too gorgeous, and too fantastic, and they just don't think they can have you. So they ask out all the other girls.
Yeah.
That are not like as cool
because
they're so insecure. So it's cool. Just hang out with us. All the guys just don't know what they're doing. That's their thing.
Well done. Wow. I can tell you teach drama.
Yes. I am drama.
Well, there is that too. Anyway, let's just go ahead and get into the callers. Please welcome for a second time through this evening. She is Diane from Florida.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Hello. That word doesn't mean what I think you think it means. Gentlemen.
Oh.
she's trying to be nice, but yeah, we're not really that gentle. Just going to let that sit there.
So I have a long one or a short one or both. Which would you like?
are you quoting J. Todd on a date with the future Mrs. Underhill?
How long is the longer of the two, would you say?
Larger than average.
Probably about two and a half minutes.
That's fine. Read that one.
Go that. Yeah.
Okay, you want the longer one.
We always want the longer one.
This is my current poem, Kabili poem. With the words, memory and parachute. Fear of falling. She used to dream of sunlight when it was dark. She used to dream of rain when the sun shone. And some days she didn't dream at all. Those were the good days. The times that she dreamed in memory, though, well, those were the worst. In those dreams, she was always falling, and they ended as most do, with her screaming and waking up. After a while, she learned not to dream, not to remember, and this became the way to cope with things, never spoken about, haunted things. How do you escape things that haunt you? She wants to ask a therapist, and his response was to say, you don't. You accept that they happened and move on. So why can some do this and some not, she asked, but she could not remember his reply. I want to parachute into a new life, dive bombed with happiness, she thought, and then had the next thought, right. That will never happen. She, who was so afraid of heights that climbing a stepladder to fetch things off the highest shelves in the library caused dizziness and palpitations, but the thought remained. Later, she always wondered what had come over her, that she would actually do what she was about to do, which was to sign up for a parachute jump.
A few hundred dollars, a gallant man named John, and for whatever reasons, here she was on a flat field north of the city, surrounded by other newbies who were about to get into a small airplane to take off, fly up into the clear blue yonder, going up about 15,000 feet, where they would then reverse their journey to jump out into the open air attached to another human being, someone more experienced who hopefully would remember to pull the ripcord. At least in her case, an instructor who also happened to be her friend. I want to parachute into a new life, dive bombed with happiness, she thought, and then had the next thought. Right, that will never happen. And then she realized she'd spoken aloud. Let's do it, he announced. Do what, she had gasped. Let's do it, he said. I'll make all the arrangements, and I'll tell you exactly what to do. You do this, everything else you ever wanted will fall into place. She had objected, he had argued, and finally, for whatever reason, she acquiesced, and here they were. And she was completely and utterly terrified. It was a beautiful summer day, hot, but she was surprised to see so many people turn out for the event. Silent, struck dumb, she followed him across the tarmac where the plane waited. But she kept her head down, her mouth closed, holding tight to her man, who kept squeezing her hand, letting her know he was there, telling her it would be all right. They climbed aboard the plane, which inside was very simple, holding only two long boards of seats down each side from which the students and instructors attached to each other to sit until it was time to jump. Everyone was suited up and animated. She looked into a few eyes, then dropped hers. The roar of takeoff sent shivers down her spine. After the plane took off, her man took out his altitude watch and showed her the rising number of feet as they quickly rose in the air. She kept her eyes firmly on it and away from the other people, but once it hit the 13,500-foot mark, her heart stopped, and phobia took over. Her knees went weak, her eyes widened, and the desire to both scream and laugh at the same time were suddenly there. Her liver had explained that this was okay. The levels of fluctuating adrenaline and dopamine that would be flooding her system would actually help her make the jump. She wondered if she should kill him now, and what would happen if she grabbed the side of the door and wouldn't let go when it was time to jump. A light popped on, signaling that the necessary height had been attained. Door, someone shouted, and suddenly a 5-foot-tall side door slid away from the side of the aircraft, and there was a huge emptiness of sky hanging a few feet away with the wind rushing in. And now she was burying her head in his back, begging God, angels, and whoever else was around to please get her out of this mess. The instructor yelled some obscenities in the rush of air, and she heard others laugh and clap. But she couldn't move, couldn't take her eyes off the open door until as she watched the couple in front of her suddenly disappeared into the vast blue. The next thing she knew, she felt a push. The wind was a huge force on her face and on her body, and the scream she was attempting to make was pushed down into her throat where it would remain, never to emerge, since the oxygen in her lungs was totally blocked by the power of the wind. Her eyes watered, the wind rushed, but somehow her eyes tilted, adjusted, and found the horizon. She saw trees, the river, and then everything cleared, everything smoothed, and she realized she was feeling something new, something powerful, something wonderful. With a tap from her partner, she released her hands, pulling them off the harness they both wore and rising them up like a bird, and she flew. She was falling, free falling, but she could breathe, and for the first time in a long time, she could feel beauty as well as see it. The clouds passed quickly, the air rushing through her. There was nothing to hinder her view, and off in a distance, she could see the towers of the nearby city, the grass coming slowly far below, a river in the far distance. Streams of cloud disappeared, and she knew what angels must feel, what birds experience. Her instructor tapped her to show his watch again. They had already fallen 1,500 feet. She found herself grinning like an idiot, and when he gave her a thumbs up, she gave one back. Then brought her gaze back to the huge, wonderful display laid out below her. A few seconds later, she could feel a hand guiding her to the small ball attachment on her harness, and she pulled it while laughing. And suddenly the huge amount of wind stopped, the air cleared, and she was hanging mid-air, watching a stream of white wings blooming above her head, while around and below her flowers bloomed, and they are birds sailing on drifts of wind down through clouds, slowly spiraling toward Earth. As the ground moves closer, he whispers reminders in her ear, and calmly she remembers to lift feet so when touchdown finally occurs, it's her rear end that lands first.
In the aftermath, when she attempts to stand, the word will go dizzy again, but it will be an elated dizzy. The high she experiences that day will stay with her long after the first trip, the first of many she will make. She will think about this when she wakes up the next day, the next week, the next year, as her life takes on new meaning, as her fears roll away from her as easily as the ground rushed up to greet her. She used to dream until the dreams turned on her, so she stopped dreaming. She used to remember until the memories turned, so she stopped remembering. Today, she dreams a lot. In some dreams, when she's falling, she dreams of a huge blooming flower that opens above her like angel's wings. And in the dreams, she never hits ground but simply flies back up into the sky. Now she parachutes out of nightmares and leaps into a new dawn, and she does not look back. The future is rolling away like a carpet of hope, strewn with small white umbrellas blooming from love. Sometimes we leap with nothing to catch us but hope, and hope can reside in many things. Sometimes a blooming parachute of love, sometimes someone who can help us face the fear and jump when needed. Sometimes fear rules us, but when we learn to rule fear, we discover just how far we can truly fall, yet still learn to fly. With grace, with hope, with love, into the unknown future.
Well done, Diane.
Thank you, guys.
Well read. I like the story. But it was well over the 2.5 minutes that you said it would be.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
We actually don't have a problem with it.
We're playing. We have no problem. We're in the return engagement. We're running short on our show anyway. I was just making fun because you're like, oh, 2.5 minutes. And we're like 7 minutes in.
Normally people tell us 7.5 and it ends up being 2.
Yes. It's your turn to lie to us guys for a change, you know.
No. But it is the other long ones that I have read for you. I've actually read for 365 Scribble, and those are recordings, so I know exactly how they are.
Oh, for sure.
No, that's fine.
We're just
you.
Fine.
I apologize, guys.
Don't apologize. You're fine.
Okay. God bless.
Diane, thank you. That was Diane on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Yeah.
It's like a party in here.
It is.
When you throw that baseball. That sounds like a pit bull single, doesn't it?
At least my pool is clear, not green.
That's true, man. That filtration system you put in was pretty amazing. How do you do it?
It's better than the one that's at the Rio's Olympics. Just saying.
Thank God they got that fixed.
Yeah.
Did they get it fixed?
Yeah,
yeah,
they
brought in like 10 professionals to go, oh, hey. Here's
well, they couldn't
club.
Have brought in 10 professionals 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, before the Olympics started.
Yeah, I watched the final of the women's diving.
Yeah.
And the water was nice and clear.
Wow.
So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so was the polo pool.
Okay.
Next door to it.
So I'm looking forward
to all those horses drowning? Oh, my goodness.
Even though it's not...
Wrong
event.
Oh,
you meant water polo.
Wrong
sorry.
Event. That was that. Yeah. Even though it's not about the Olympics, yeah. I did order a shirt that was the Filipino dive team.
Nice
shirt.
Awesome.
I will be wearing that because I think it was fantastic.
It was,
and
absolutely.
And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, just go to YouTube, look up Filipino Dive Team 2015, and it's brilliant.
It is.
All right. Someone is definitely better than the Filipino Dive Team when it comes to poetry. Please welcome from Kentucky, he is Philip.
Cheers. Appreciate it. Michael, sir.
Yes.
Hypnotic lyrics, masterful guitar strokes. You don't even have to buy me a drink. I'm yours.
Oh, well. Well, that was my entire goal, Philip.
No, you really did. You sounded amazing. Hey, you have a great voice, and you really bring it alive when you put it all together. It's really quite impressive.
I appreciate
thank you
that.
For your talent.
Thank
it
you,
means
buddy.
The world to me.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome, sir. So anyhow, I'll get to it. I know there's another reader, I think, after me, in fact.
There is one.
Barbara. Yeah. Oh. So, short title for me, only one line. I should dedicate that to you, J. Todd. One line title. All right, here we go. How the Caged Bird Sings. a little nod to Maya Angelou, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Not until the eyes are ashes, darkened into charred smudges of ecstasy and chemical abuses, lids smoldering secret agonies black as sackcloth, lit dimly by words illumined somewhere within, engulfed in flames of Icarus's sun, imitated vainly. Lonesomely ponderous down labyrinthine obsequies, through endless corridors, memories without doors or recognizable borders, just seamless infinity in every direction. Imprisoned inside realms, prosaically the world, minds make their elaborate escape through boundless permutations, handsome colors pleasingly arranged, harmonious songs, honed phrases delivered swiftly by mercurial meters to a cryptically believed in other, watchful as a mindful sentry. For now, though, a flightless eye suffices, sometimes masterfully despite the inevitable losses assuaged by those panaceas found in language of resonant voices from one broken, divided, and splintered into fiery shards, streaking conscious luminosity only outdone by the cosmic afar. And there you go, fellers.
Love your work.
Yeah, thank you, Philip.
Words so well done that it actually made the chair that Michael was sitting in fall apart.
Yeah, the back popped out of the chair while you were reaching the apex of your poem.
This is actually what happened.
Yeah, it's right here.
Thankfully, I have my battery-operated blank with me, I'm going to relish the praises.
Nice.
I'm just
my
taking comfort.
Blank.
Yeah. I'm just taking comfort. We have a new thing to serve tacos on.
Yeah, right. And while you're speaking of food, I don't know if anybody has done this, but let me just recommend if you have a bag of salsa chips, just take a thing of Parmesan cheese and pour that in there. And let me tell you, it makes the salsa chips even that more interesting.
Oh, I can imagine the amount of umami flavors exploding out of the bag. That sounds great. Actually, really does sound good.
Yeah, it does sound good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's really quite delicious. Well, I adore you guys. I hope you have a great weekend. And have a Wins Posing Fest, by the way, remind me.
September 17th.
Okay. All right. I will put that on my calendar.
Beautiful. I hope you're listening when it's going all the hours of it.
All right. I look forward to it. I truly do. And thank you so much, guys. Be well and cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Boom.
Yeah.
So we have some, we're not going to say what it is until it's all lined up, but we had some pretty cool ideas about Posing Fest next year. We're going to nail this one.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be great, but I think next year we're going to get you guys all involved.
Yeah. Speaking of stuff like that, I was online today and I was reminded where both you and I were on April 29th, 2011.
That's right, yeah.
Do you remember?
I do.
Did you see those two?
Where we were at Mercury Cafe, yeah?
No.
Wait, am I wrong?
April 29th, 2011. Let me refresh your memory. I saw videos of Scott Aller and Clifford Brooks delivering poetry at a high tea.
Oh.
And I'm like, that brought back memories of Michael and I playing the Prince William and Kate's wedding.
That's right.
At the tea room in Littleton.
Yeah.
We need to book more stuff like that,
you
too.
Do more stuff like
we
that?
Should
that
do
was
a
fun,
couple more
man.
Like that.
Yeah. It was a beautiful day.
We all got paid and it was just a beautiful
I know. It was exciting.
I got my check and I'm like, I'm a paid poet. It wasn't a lot, but.
Wait. After all these years,
this was
you
before.
Got paid?
Yeah, that was. He actually, the funny thing is, he got paid before the show.
I did. So did
yeah.
you.
Well,
no, yeah. No, you got paid after the show.
I've been paid after the show too.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. We could have used you on sound that day too.
That would have been awesome.
It was a small room.
It was a beautiful room, actually, and the the day went off without a hitch. It was a very beautiful, I mean, given what happened right afterwards.
Yeah,
it
that was a beautiful, yeah, I remember that.
So it was a beautiful day.
That was a strange day, though, because I accidentally said the wrong historical fact. Uh-huh. And I was corrected on it on stage.
Yes.
By the audience.
By the audience.
I remember saying that. I just, I don't know what it was, because I actually knew the real answer that they corrected me on. I'm like, I don't know why I just said that.
Yeah.
It was weird.
So I'll just shed light on what happened that day. My grandmother was ailing, not long for this world. So before the high tea, where Michael and I performed two sets, identical to each other.
Yeah, I did exactly the same thing he did.
No, 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 no. Both sets.
They're like trolling you guys.
All right. Yeah. No, yeah. So I stopped by and read my set to my grandmother, who was not doing so well. And Mike and I went on stage. And while we were on stage during the second set, she did actually pass.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful day. And beautiful that I got to share some of my words with her before she passed. It was great.
That was just, I remember you calling me after that whole thing had happened. We'd spent the day together.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, but you know what? There's been times I know in your life where someone dear to you has passed away.
Yeah.
When you're doing poetry.
While I'm doing poetry. But my mother.
Your mother, I know. But the thing being is that when you spend as much time doing things that are so important to you, it's almost like, is there any other place, besides being with them, obviously,
yeah,
that you would rather be than doing the thing you love?
No, and there's no other place they would rather me be than doing the one thing I love.
Right.
Okay, the two things I love, because, well, never mind, we're not going to go into that. Anyway, I do have a poem to get us out of the spiral.
No.
What's,
we have one more.
Yeah, what's going on, bruh?
Oh, I am so sorry.
No, we're just playing around.
We're supposed to be considerate of our callers. I am so sorry, Barbara.
We're all right, buddy. Line.
We're okay.
Barbara, I am so sorry. I thought we'd already done all our callers. I am so sorry.
That's okay. You know, you're telling a sad story. I mean, you know, that's a sad story.
I don't think of it as a sad story. Both my mother and my grandmother went while I was on stage, and they knew that I was comfortable in my own skin while doing poetry. I'm cool with it.
No, I mean, yeah, it's cool, but it's still a little sad, I think. You know, it just, you know, whatever.
You never knew my family. It's not sad at all. I mean, no, just kidding.
No, I think it was very sweet of you to go and read them. For her, you know, that was really a nice experience for her.
Yeah.
Before she passed.
And my cousins were in the room, and they actually just, they knew that I was pressed for time. They just stepped aside, let me read to her. I didn't do the whole set. I did about 3-4 poems out of it.
Well, obviously you wouldn't do the whole set, but
no, not
was she conscious, really?
She was in and out of consciousness.
Oh, okay.
And my wife and my sister-in-law were taking care of her. They had heard that if you all leave the room, it gives the person that's passing or in the process of passing the freedom to leave. So after I left and everybody got to say their goodbyes, they kind of ushered everybody out, and that was it. I mean, literally 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But they stayed.
No, they didn't even stay. They had a monitor in the room where they could hear what was going on, and 30 minutes later, they're like, hey, we don't hear anything. And that's it.
Yeah.
My wife's the same
like that. I stayed and held my mother's hand, so, it depends. You know, I didn't want to come in, but the nurse told me to come in, so,
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Enough of the heavy stuff. Do you have some poetry for us?
Yes. I actually wrote something while in Shades of Mariah, in honor of Mariah. But
you should title it
Mariah
In Shades of Mariah.
Yes. I wrote something during the show. And it's about an experience that I had, which caused me to think of a word, which I love, called serendipity. And serendipity is when you have an experience that it seems normal, but it isn't really normal for you. It kind of changes things, you know? It's like a magical, anyway, you'll hear in the poem.
Right.
Okay, serendipity. Sometimes you find yourself in a space where you never thought you would be. A moment when you feel a kind of magic and things feel like they are touched with glitter dust in an ordinary time. This exhilaration you feel cannot be dissected by an outsider, for no one really knows when it will happen, and suddenly the boring life you were leading has spectacularly turned into a wild experience, and dreams appear and float in the air as you calmly live this tiny and momentary thrill. No one knows it is happening to you, yet inside you feel like a bottle of sparkling water bursting with happiness and so much possibility. You have walked into serendipity, that sly operator who grabs hold of you in a second and changes a frown to a smile, moving you into a hopeful future. End poem.
Very well done, Barbara.
Thank you.
As always, I love your work. I love the fact that you share on our show. Thank you for calling us.
I love sharing on your show, really. And it's my treat on Friday nights, you know. It's like, it's just, I feel if I didn't share, I'd be missing something, you know. Well,
I got to say, the mere fact that any one person tunes into us and listens to what we do is truly a blessing and a testimony to why we do what we do. I'm glad people enjoy this forum. I'm glad that people feel safe enough to share. Spread the word to your friends about us.
Oh, I have. That's why, you know, Diane is here and a few other people have come, and hopefully other people will come. But I'm trying to get my good friends to get on here, but some of them just... They don't have the time, you know. It's the wrong time for them.
Barbara, it's totally understandable. All you need to do is, when we're finished here, pick up the phone, call each of them, and say, you know, the fact that you don't call into the show makes me question your loyalty.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal.
Some of them are actually working or sleeping or, you
know,
whatever.
I'm playing around, Barbara. Totally playing around. I get it.
Is you could invite them all over, serve wine, and have a listening party. That way they can at least get the feel of it and maybe plant the bug.
No. You know what's even better?
Feed their addiction.
Feed them.
Well, you know, I could get all my Facebook friends, but that would be like, I'd need like a really big room for that.
Well, so here's the thing. Have a dinner party and then tell them all that you've poisoned them. And the only way they're going to get the antidote is if they tell everybody on their respective Facebook pages about this show. And then tell them at the end, there was no poison.
That would be, right now I have 2,060 friends.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we'd have to hire a really big room. I don't even know.
That's all right. We're used to playing big rooms. It's all good.
Yeah.
This would have to be an auditorium, I think.
It's all right.
You can make spaghetti,
right? I got all
right?
my Facebook friends. Yeah. And they're all over the world, too.
Yeah.
So we'd have to get
them. What's that like?
I don't know. Having so many friends.
Barbara. Too many friends.
I know. But they just keep adding on to me. I just think, I won't have any more friends. And then I meet these people, and they say, you must know this person. And then I find out we have mutual friends, and then they want to friend me.
Wow.
And then, like, I'll give a comment, and someone wants to friend me. I don't know.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, I'll see you guys next week.
We'll see you next week.
Yes. Oh, my God. So late in August. Oh, no.
I know. Trust me, I'm feeling the crunch. I got lots I got to do. And that was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
I'm just providing some vibe here, man. It's kind of like we're just sitting around a campfire right now. Except there's no fire. That would be very dangerous.
Especially in our studio.
In a basement studio with the... Yeah, you know, now we got a fire. And I'm going to work on...
We're going to tell some cowboy
Arizona
stories.
Arizona moon, keep shining from the desert sky above. I got to work that out.
Raw oysters.
Not even remotely what I'm talking about.
Now you want me to read poetry. Great.
Well, there's a list about
three inches
from your face.
Jump!
Dance!
Come on,
dance monkey!
All right.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
The wheels are just coming right off this sucker.
Just blowing them off the sides.
Speaking of our wheels coming off, this one I wrote this week, and I have no clue where the poem started, how it happened, or anything like that. I'm just, it's one of the ones where you write and you're going, I wonder what that means. Okay. I'm serious.
Why did I write this in handprints and red paint?
Pretty
what
much.
Does this mean?
That's very funny that you would say that. This is entitled War Wounds. Black and red, black and red, black and red once again. Checkerboarded life, which continues to no end. Right hand red, left foot black, stretching to make a connection. Unable to shield yourself from attack, a turtle without protection. The weapons I wield will do only good over time as they distill. Graced with wit, intellect, and armed with notebook and quill. Taking up arms to wade into the fray, waist deep in the muck and mire. Not caring for collateral damage, with war always comes friendly fire. Red and black, red and black, red and black once more. Taking up arms as I've done many times before. Creation the battle. With the haters, I'll stand aside. Don't blame me for what this is, for I work with great pride. Drop your rock in the pond, take up arms and fight. Stand with me or fall. Show the world your might. No other battle is more important than this, I have said. Wear your wounds for all to see. Red and black, black and red. Nice. Thank you. That was literally, I started off with the first line, and next thing I know, I'm wrapping up lunch going, wow.
That's cool.
Where did that come from? So, yeah.
It's good.
Awesome, man.
So you have a...
I have a submission. I'm kind of hooked. I think I'm just... JT, when we go to eat after this, I might just bring the guitar and just nonstop be like...
It'll definitely be an experience.
And then go, excuse me, could you turn the music off, please?
Okay. Oh, you can be like the first ever Applebee's open mic.
I could be
you
a minstrel.
People with their kazoos.
I could be like a minstrel. You know, I
he's
was thinking.
Follow me in.
I've been thinking about this. We do some pretty cool stuff, right?
Yes.
But
yes,
like, we don't have anybody to tell other people about it. So it's kind of like we need a minstrel. I kind of think that would be. I mean, yeah, this is just a. This might be a phase we're going through, but we need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need someone to follow us around.
You should
and
at
tell
least
of
do
our
it
deeds.
Once a month.
Oh, stop it.
Every 28 days.
I think honestly, we need someone to follow us around to tell of our deeds. And I had actually hired someone to do it, and they backed out.
Huh. Well, yeah. If I could play an instrument, I could probably...
Well, it takes a lot of improv abilities, too, you know?
Well, yeah.
It's kind of like... No, I'm not going to do it right now.
Okay.
All right.
So, let's instead look
do
at...
Submission?
Do a submission. This one is from Lausanne. She sent it in to us. It's called, oddly, No More Poetry. She ripped and tore all her poems from her notebooks. She removed all poetry books from her shelves, tossed them all with the scattered torn-up papers into a barrel, lit a match to it all. She vowed to never write another poem as long as she lived. She watched the poems as they were consumed by the fire, turned her back to the burning inferno, and walked away slowly. From the billowing smoke, a figure in the shape of a poem appeared. It looked as if it almost touched the ground by the barrel and just stood there.
then turned around and looked at her. She turned to look at the burning poems, saw the figure, then slowly walked towards it in disbelief. The poem bowed its head in sorrow and began to speak. She listened as a figure, the living poem, spoke to her. You need me. You cannot live without me. What are you going to do when your heart breaks, when you lose someone you love, when you see innocent people suffer, when you see injustice in this world, when you fall desperately, hopelessly in love, when you hold the tiniest newborn in your arms, when you are in such pain no one can understand, when you witness the unspeakable, heartless cruelty man is incapable of, when you hold the lifeless hand of someone whose spirit just crossed to the other side. Tell me, what are you going to do without me? You need me, the poem said. They both sat on the ground, watched the fire burn, and they both cried. And that was from Lausanne. It is called No More Poetry.
Wow. Great read, Mike. Great write, Lausanne. Powerful.
Yeah, she did great. Well, you know.
Yeah.
You know what we've just reached the end of?
We've reached the end of World Poetry Open Mic. We want to thank you for tuning in.
And the segment name is?
I didn't know that's what you're leading me into. You mean we've reached the end of The Return Engagement.
Engagement. Wow.
Sorry, I thought that was going to go better in my mind.
Yeah,
it did go better in your mind.
So much of life does that.
My entire life goes better in my mind than everybody comes out as. Yeah. But that's all right. I still love doing this on Friday nights. So we want to thank you for tuning in. For Michael, JT, and myself, we urge you to tune in next Friday night, 8 p.m. Mountain Time. And we want to say goodnight, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.